that our lives might be richer, that we might do that which you have called us to do. Lord, that we might be recipients of your grace, of your mercy, and of your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to come out to worship you. We pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts for what you would say. I thank you, Lord, for those that are here this morning, and even for those that would have liked to have been here. Lord, I ask that you would keep Emmanuel in the center of your will, in the center of your hand. Lord, that you would keep a hedge of protection around us. Lord, that you would be clear and decisive and passionate on the direction that you give us as a church, that we might fulfill that which you have called us to do. I ask now, Lord, that you would speak through me to your people, Lord, that they would hear from you. This I pray in your son's name and for his sake. Amen. One of the things that is important, as I have sat and listened to prayer requests, and it will show up in what we talk about this morning, is God's grace is available to us. In essence, we don't have to go looking for God's grace. God gives it to us freely. He reaches out and lets us know how much he loves us and that he is there to meet our every need. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke and the 9th chapter. One of the things that is always, well, I said 9, I meant 19, I'm sorry. One of the things that we talked about two Sundays ago is those things that are a priority to God. We talked about worship. But there is something that God has called all of us to do, and that is that we are to share our faith with those that are lost. Now, when we look at Luke 19, and specifically verse number 10, it says, "For the Son of Man came, the Messiah came, to seek and to save that was what was lost." Those that are lost are those that are unsaved, those that are perishing, those that do not have a personal relationship with Christ. One of the things that God has called us to do as a church is to be witnesses in our homes, in our communities, on our jobs, and with those people that we come in contact with. This is one of the things that is sorely lacking in the church today. We are not proclaiming Jesus Christ. In essence, I think a lot of us are undercover Christians. We're known to be Christians in this building, but in our communities, on our jobs, even in our families, we do not testify of God's goodness. Some of us don't testify because we don't feel comfortable. Some of us don't testify because we need to have someone to help us. In essence, if there are two or three people talking about the Lord, we feel comfortable. But if God gives us unction, we find it difficult. Jesus, in this story that we're going to look at, gave us a real good example of what we're supposed to be doing 24/7. Jesus is in Jericho. Now, this young man named Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Now, in the culture, tax collectors were Shylocks. They were thieves. They took advantage of people for their own good. And even more so, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. So that means he had gotten the whole practice down and he knew how to get what he wanted to get from those that had little. He approaches the route that Jesus was coming down out of curiosity. He had heard stories about Jesus healing. He had heard stories about things that Jesus had done, and he wanted to see this man. Now, I think the thing that we need to focus on here is that in our own homes, in our own communities, we have people that we know that are probably curious about Jesus. Yet, we do not witness because of our relationship with God. I can recall when I was in college, I had a very close friend that was a heathen. I was saved, but I was not committed to the Lord, and he was a heathen. I rededicated my life to the Lord. He was still a heathen. I felt because of the life I used to live that I could not witness to him because he knew everything about me. Because of God's grace, God had him to stop past my church And someone other than myself witnessed to him, and he accepted Christ. Is there someone else other than you that has to witness to someone in your home that doesn't know Christ? Witness to someone in your family that doesn't know Christ? Witness to someone on your job or in your community that doesn't know Christ because you don't believe that God has given you what it takes to witness? God has called each and every one of us to share our faith to those that are dying in this world. If we looked at the world as a swimming pool, and you looked into this pool and you saw all these people dying, and you stood on the side of the swimming pool with a life preserver, would you throw it in? Would you feel that you do not have the ability to throw the life preserver in there and help pull someone out of the water? Our life preserver is Jesus Christ. And he wants to use you to pull those in that pool that don't know him, those that are lost, those that are perishing, out of the pool. This coming Easter, we're going to have our first family and friends service Easter Sunday. Who in your family needs to be here to hear the gospel? Who in your family, who in your neighborhood, who in your community, who on your job should you be inviting to be here so that they can hear the gospel, so that they can be pulled out of the pool versus dying? We talk about hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But in the book of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, God has called us to share our faith. God has called us to reach out into that pool and to share and to help him to pull people that we know out of hell. Those that are on the road to hell. God is looking for you to become passionate in doing what he has called you to do. He's looking for you to become obedient to what he has called you to do. Now, let's look at what goes on here with Zacchaeus, and maybe it will give you a better understanding of what Jesus can do in you if you will submit yourself to him. In verse number 2, it says, a man was there by this name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus means purity. So this man, although he was a tax collector, his parents gave him the name which meant purity. He was wealthy. Wealthy people need the Lord. It says in verse number 23 that he wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed up in a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus when he came by. In essence, Jesus had such a reputation that this man who had a lot of money, had stature in the community, chose to climb up in a tree to see Jesus. And I understand why the writer put a sycamore tree there. Because a sycamore tree was a fig tree and it had little thorns on it. So he had to really want to see Jesus for him to climb up in a thorn tree to get a look. And on top of that, you got to understand this man had money. So he had to lower himself from his stature in life to climb up in the tree. He really wanted to at least gaze on Jesus. If you bring someone to this service, friends and family service, they will at least have a chance to gaze on Jesus. You will help to plant a seed. You don't have to, they don't have to come here and automatically accept the Lord. All they are doing is coming and a seed will be planted in their lives. It goes on here to say that he climbs up in this tree, sycamore tree. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up at him. You can't hide from Jesus. No matter what's going on in your life, you can't hide from him. So here is this man, rich, up in a tree. Jesus comes walking by, looks up in the tree, and sees him. Now, I want you to understand that there was a reason for this. One writer said that when grace comes walking by, you can't deny it. So if we were to put that into context here, it's saying that as Jesus walked by, as grace walked by, grace looked up and saw someone in need. And Jesus says to him, and I guess, you know, have you ever been in a situation where somebody knows your name and you don't know their name and you don't know how they know your name? At this point in time, Zacchaeus has not said, this is God. I am gazing and I'm looking and I'm up in this tree looking down at God. But because he was God, God knew his name. And God says to him in a nice voice, come down. Immediately. You got to focus on that immediate. You got money, you got position, and Jesus says, come down immediately. Is it in his voice? Is it in his facial expression that you would respond to him in such a manner? Now, it goes on to say that Zacchaeus, that Jesus said, I must stay at your home today. There's not a better situation than for Jesus to be at your house. Because if there's something wrong in your house, when Jesus crossed over the threshold, everything changes. Can you get that picture? And it is for you to understand that in every home, Jesus is supposed to be present. If you're a Christian and it's your home, Jesus is supposed to be present in your home. Let me help you. At Thanksgiving, not every Thanksgiving, but we used to have Thanksgiving when all of my sisters and brothers lived up here. And they would come to my house. And two of my brothers, you know, like to lift a glass. And I said, you cannot drink in my house. Now, both of them were saved. But you know how saved folk are. So I had one brother that said, I'm coming to eat. And when I finish eating, I'm leaving. Because I got to go lift a glass someplace, and I can't lift it at your house. In essence, you have to have standards in your home. And if Jesus is in your home, then there are standards. Jesus comes to Zacchaeus' home, and he says, I'm going to have fellowship with you. And it says that, so he came down and once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to murmur. He had gone to the guest to be a guest of a sinner. Jesus did not come for those of us that are not sinners. He came as a friend to the sinner. He came to change the life of those that are sinners, to transform you, for you to live a life that is a radical life to the life of this world. He came that you might experience his grace, that you might experience his mercy, that you might have a life that is pleasing to God. Now, once we have this encounter with God, things change. Once we meet God, once he comes into our lives, there is a radical change, and we're never the same after that. Now, I want you to understand that there are some of us that our lives, we are in the church, but our lives have not changed. We're inside of a building, but our lives have not changed. Let me help you. Some of you, your language hasn't changed. Some of you, you're still doing some of the things that you did before you came to the Lord. In essence, you have not submitted yourself to God and allowed him through his Holy Spirit to transform you. You are so disobedient and wanting to live the way you want to live that you have not received any of the benefits of being a Christian. You're just doing your own thing. Now, that doesn't even just go for adults. We have young people that have said they accepted Christ, but when they are away from their parents, you have to question their salvation. Let's look at what he's saying. Let's go to verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I will give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them four times that amount." When Jesus comes into your life, when he really comes into your life, your whole concept about money, your whole concept about life changes. Money doesn't mean anything to you when Jesus is in your life. Paul says to us that in everything, I have reached a level of comfort. If I got it, fine. If I don't have it, fine. When have you said that? If I have a nice car, fine, but if I don't, scepter runs. God has given me a transpass. If I can eat at a nice restaurant, fine. But if I only got McDonald's money, I'm content. If I don't have McDonald's money and I got to go home and open a can of pork and beans, I'm content. Because it is God that says he will supply all my needs according to his riches. I don't have to be caught up in the rat race of running around trying to accomplish things outside of the Lord, because God is going to meet my needs. In the book of Psalms, the 23rd chapter, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have no needs." Do you believe that? See, because if you believe that, then you don't get caught up in worry, you don't get caught up in anxiety, you don't get caught up in thinking about what you don't have. When I was sitting in my study, and I hope she don't mind, Rose came to mind. And since I came into this building, Rose had been looking for a new place to live. But because of God's grace, because of God's mercy, she has not spent a night when she didn't have a roof over her head. That's God. That's his grace. That means that sometime we need to look to God for our needs instead of trying to find a system out here in this world to meet our needs. Now, it goes on to that Zacchaeus now says this, that he would give four times if he has done something. Now, Jesus now recognized this man has moved to another level. And Jesus comes and he says to him, it says, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." Zacchaeus is no longer the man that was hanging up in a tree looking to hear about a man named Jesus. Zacchaeus had allowed Jesus to come into his house, and because of his understanding of what Jesus has said to him, now Zacchaeus is saved and his whole family is saved. The point I want you to understand here is that if you're here and you live in a house and all of your family in that house is not saved and living and walking for the Lord, then you may be the tool that God wants to use to bring salvation to your home. And with you, all it has to be is you bringing them to church. I believe that God is calling Emmanuel to another level. If you saw the movie Creed, you saw a fighter that was in training. He knew he was going to be in the biggest fight of his life, and so he was in training. I believe that Emmanuel has been in training. And it's now time for us to deal with the battle at hand. The battle at hand is for us to go out into this community and win people to the Lord. Not being afraid, because Jesus is with you. We will have training so that you know what to say and you know how to say it. But that you are committed to winning people to the Lord, because God has called you to do that. It's his commandment for you to do that. It's not something that you have an option to. He's saying, this is what I've called you to do. It can be that your whole house becomes saved. It can be that your whole family becomes saved. I believe God is calling us to move to another level as a church. That it is good that we can come together and we can fellowship and we can meet in this building and we can, you know, have fun with each other and we can and do all of those things. But I believe now God comes into this room and he looks and he sees all of these chairs that are red or maroon, and he wants a body in them. He wants the body of a new believer in these chairs. I believe he has called us to do that. I believe that that is part of your mission in life, that God has called you to witness that we might fill this building with new believers. And then, as his word says, that we then train them, we teach them, and transform them into being the Christians that God would have them to be. I ask that you would join me as we start off with our first Family and Friends Day, as we will go forward during this summer, witnessing in this community, sharing our faith, opening the doors of this church that even those walking by will know that there's something different going on in here. That we may live out what God has called us to do in this community and in this city. Let's bow. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to serve you in this community as part of Emmanuel Chapel. This church has a rich, rich history in this community, in the Broad Street community, and even on the west side of Broad Street. But Lord, I believe that it is you're calling us, Lord, to go move to the next level, that we would now become soul winners, that we will now do outreach. And through our outreach, that we would touch lives of those that are lost and dying in this world. It is good that we can come together and worship. It's good that we can come together and fellowship. But Lord, you have made it very clear to us what you've called us to do. Our real time of fellowship will be when we are seated and when we're standing around your throne. But while we are here on this earth, you have given us a mission to reach those that are lost. As you have taken Zacchaeus from being a tax collector to a believer, we believe that we are called to do the same thing. So, Lord, I ask that you would just bless the lives of those that are here today. Bless the lives of all of Emmanuel Chapel members, that as we go forth in the spring and as we go forth in the summer, Lord, that you would give us power, that you would give us grace, that you would give us mercy, that we might touch lives and change this community for you. This we ask in your Son's name for his sake. Amen.